This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, as they often say. How are you coping with this COVID?
Well, I'm trying to do the very best that I can to avoid it.
Right, right. Very good. Very good. You've got to look after yourself and your family.
But, there's a lot more to COVID than just your health. I mean, economic health of the country is also something that we must all watch. I've heard of companies that have lost revenue to between 50 and 75% in this country. I mean, that is huge, yeah? And then it creates tensions because you will find that, the companies themselves then have to come to workers at top and bottom, try to get some kind of ease. The workers themselves, many people feel as though, they're already under pressure. How much more can we take? So those tensions are real. You will see them play out to a greater degree in the coming days,
But that's the situation for the world. As a matter of fact, COVID has thrusted the world in a dilemma tailspin that is unexplainable. And that is serious. Now, I miss, one of the things I miss, you wash some clothes and then you're like, I can't see all, wash no clean shirts, no nice shirts lately. You know what? But that who came to mind? But you haven't looked lately,
That's what it means.
Yes.
You haven't been able to go dancing.
And that, you would have to touch on that. I know. And my friend, Don and some friends of mine, Brown and Alvin, a whole set of them. And I guess I would miss their company. They would sort of miss mine. And we have our good interaction. Alfred amongst them.
What do you do with the time that you have?
Well, what I do is I'm a reader. I like to read, and I sort of I communicate with a person via the phone. Where's my shopping there? But don't forget that I can go out because of my construction. I'm an electrician, and but I still stand clear of the unnecessary moving around and that kind of thing. I play a lot of music. I'm into music in a very serious way. And I sort of toss up a lot of stuff. And I can always, juggle with them and prepare them and that kind of thing.
What's on your mind today, though?
Like you're a producer. Sorry?
What's on your mind today?
No, I want to commend. It's a good thing, to commend you all. Let me commend you, Mr. Johnson, all the moderators over the years. And I want to highlight something that came out vividly today. You see how you came and represented the lady who is referred to as the Trinidad lady. And you said, don't worry about the person, worry about the argument, the validity of the argument or whatever. You know that smacks some consistency with you. Because somebody wanted to be dirty to me, nasty, some time ago. And you hastily went and said, no, stop it. Is about his deportment, his behavior, and how he conducts himself when he's on this program. Never forget that. That's way, way back. And when you hear me say, I regard you, don't think it's superficial, you see? People don't understand me. I'm thorough. I care about analysis. And when you think that something hasn't impacted on me or whatever, you fool yourself.
Will you come to talk about today? I still got to ask you what you're talking about today.
Miss Alice, I commend you first, and then I'm going to go on to where I want to talk, but I want to get that out of the way.
Thank you very much, for being decent. I will be accused of taking up a lot of time with you if you don't get to the point quickly.
Sorry to troops, I shouldn't do that. But my thought on today is, the minister went from shop to shop, supermarket to supermarket, and I want to make it unequivocally clear that I'm still no better off. When that lady this week spoke of the pack of beans, and when she got home, she only had 12 ounces. The pack of fish for $45, and when she got home, she only had 3.5 pounds and that kind of thing. And all the other complaints over the years and recently, inundated your station on the data records, etc. I might say that we can conclude there isn't anything known as price gouging. With all the efforts going around from supermarket to supermarket, I'm still no better off. And I'm going to a carton of milk, $9. I'm going to call. include. That is something called press gouging. I don't mind the article in the paper, but no press gouging on March the 15th. I've been relentlessly saying a person can speak for themselves, but they cannot unilaterally across the board. However that was done and conducted here does not say for...
Have you seen yourself? Have you, in going to the supermarket or to the shop, have you noticed that there's a significant increase in the cost of items? A lot of people are selling vegetables on the street. Have you noticed that there's a significant increase in the prices there?
Yes, I pick up, not now, and I've been particularly clear on this, not now. For some time, I noticed the disparity in prices for some time.
And what would influence that? Because it's just price gouging, as you call it. What is called price gouging by some is also referred to as market forces, you know.
Market forces. But let me...
Yeah, if something is in high demand, the price tends to rise. If there's a shortage, the price tends to rise.
I know the angle you're going to take even before you get her. I know that my grandmother always just said, before you come off your race, I don't see you. But I don't know how you will conclude. But I am going to say that all the persons in the hearing of my voice satisfied, I am saying that they experienced outrageous prices. And that lady made a clarion call. The prices, Barbie's going to open back up. And you see the same, the killing, the goose that laying the golden egg. You want us to come and support you all back then and thing. When everything revert to what they ought to. I am saying there has been, and there's still, and all the going around and all of this thing, Barbados are no better off as regarding the price. Why a cartoon of milk will cost $9? Why that lady will get 12 ounces instead of her pound for her $5? Why she would spend $45 and get 3.5 pounds? And those sort of things. I don't matter however it is put, how pretty it is placed.
How would you fix the problems?
I showed you here. Sorry about that.
How would you fix it?
Well, I know you can't have price control, but I know it's going to be highlighted quickly that the market forces will dictate. But that, you see, let me tell you how I would fix it. If I could get everybody with the disposition of myself and one or two others, you see all of these ridiculous retailers and doing as they like, they will have to come to some stark understanding that, no, we cannot do it because the consumer ain't going to purchase. That is what wants happening in the country. And I want you to promise me something. You see, there was a talk sometime, and I know you can get it done. And you could get assistance in getting that if you're not a thing, but I know you can get it done. You see that talk about that NSRL? I would like you to come and explain the public clearly in detail what that really was. And if it is necessary that you should go back or could go back to the NSRL. Because what you understand about it is that they had these wholesalers and things had to pay this money, deposit this money out front early. And that's what they're abhor and objected to. That is where all the furor about the NSRL came about. But I would like you to properly come in place and leave the public to answer, oh, that's what it was. Well, go back to it. I regard you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, David. How are you today?
I'm well, and you?
Well, I'm not too bad. I'm thanking God that my family and myself, we are still healthy, and we are still trying to be as obedient as possible as it relates to the decisions made by government in terms of, you know, going out in public on the specific days and so on. Yeah, but I spoke to you on Monday, and unfortunately, I was cut off while I was in midstream on the issue of mobile phones and wireless radiation.
And okay.
I just want to revisit that. Just to point out to you that if you go on YouTube, there's the truth about mobile phones and wireless radiation by Professor Dr. Devera, I think it's Devera, Devera Davis of the University of Melbourne. So far, she's attracted something like 3.7 million views. Okay, so that's all I'll say on that matter. The second matter I wanted to speak to you on is that people are calling in and they're sort of indicating that they haven't seen a drop in price. Well, my experience, which is in recent times, and I can quote on, I would say, three subjects, three areas. Kerosene oil, which I would normally buy 5 gallons of kerosene, because I have dogs, Rottweilers, and so on. And part of the sanitation process, I use kerosene oil with the Jace fluid and bleach, you know, to sanitize, right? I for the last 10 years or so, I was buying a 5-gallon drum. It was costing me $35. The last fill-up I had, which was very recent, it was $25, which is $10 lower. The diesel, the Ford truck, which I drive, 2008 Ford Ranger, normally to fill that up was $177. This is diesel I'm speaking about specifically. The last fill-up, which was just about a week ago, was $130, which is a $47 difference. Okay, I just received the two light bills that came in. The May bill was the April bill was $102. That's the first one. And that's now $78, which is a $24 drop. The second one was $144 in April, and it's now reflecting $126.91, which is about $18.91. And what I realized is that the fuel charge on the light bills would have gone down from 0.241 to 0.162, okay, which is that's about an 8 cents drop, okay? So that's my experience, right?
Okay.
Right. I also want to say that, look, this situation that we are face as it relates to the country is nothing that I'm 67 years now. In my lifetime, I have never experienced anything like this. I've never known of a situation where the entire world was affected. And I think that this is a time for us as a people to really revisit independence and what is being independent and what is important about self-sufficiencies. Okay, I truly believe that it is important for us to go back and revisit those situations where we could look again at agriculture, we could look at manufacturing, and of course, we would still have to pay some attention eventually to tourism. But the other thing I want to state is that the players who are involved, this is across the board, managerial level or otherwise, it's a greater challenge now than when you had things functioning and functioning well. And I want to say this, since I would have existed in the private sector for over 35 years. When I hear people talk about the salaries of government ministers and stuff, it is laughable. And I'll tell you why it is laughable. The prime minister, rather, let me use that figure. I think she's making, rounded, about $240,000 a year. I'm putting it to you that in the private sector, you have junior managers whose package is way ahead of that. And the responsibility is nowhere near that of a prime minister. Okay? So I am thankful for you listening to me and hearing my voice. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 18 minutes after noon. Welcome to the program. Hello? This person says that they were listening to one of the earlier callers talking about beach access. And one of the things that was drawn to their attention recently is that with the closure of the beaches, some people who have properties on the beach have been extending their fences to take in more of the beach. Person writes, I believe you will see that happening along, well, they suggest that Brighton is one of the areas that you need to look at. And they believe that this may well be a matter for town and country planning. But there's the suggestion that there should be greater monitoring of these properties. The writer goes on to say that it happened some years ago. And as he said, someone has pointed it out now recently. over that period, as I said, when the beaches were closed, this has been happening and it needs to be looked into. Acceptable, says the writer. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon.
On the air.
Right, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Now that we've had a greater level of clarity and transparency on the specifics of the facts surrounding Dr. Walton's, what should I say, Dr. Waldron,
are you there, ma'am?
I am.
Yes, what do you think?
Now that we have the specifics about Dr. Waldron,
his comments.
Concerns about the retrofitting of the specific theater, and those have been clarified by Dr. Cave in the news this morning. I think that there is a need for us to revisit the ambiguity of the disciplinary letter, basically, the transparency of the ambiguity of the letter that was written in the news, or that was revealed in news by the administration of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital.
I don't understand what you're saying. What ambiguity?
When the letter came out, it says that Dr. Waldron basically was referring to the operating theaters, when in truth and in fact, what has been clarified this morning is that he was not referring to the operating theaters.
I don't know where to get that from. Nobody, the hospital has given the impression that people have called them and distorted the public discussion on the matter.
This was never
a discussion about the other operating theaters in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. It was always about the retrofitted theater out by Enmore. So, and as it relates to any correspondence between the hospital and Dr. Waldron, that is a matter that would be dealt with behind the scenes. This is not a forum
printed in press.
Is it that?
The letter printed in press, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, but I saw the thing and I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't remember seeing that.
Of course, but
Let's and your phone is giving us a bit of trouble as well. You're coming in and out.
The letter was printed in the press, and there was
But that is a matter for the two sides. Once you get to this point, ma'am, you know what's going to happen. You have a process, a disciplinary hearing. There are certain rules and regulations associated with any such hearing, and both people get a chance to put, anybody who is accused of something will have an opportunity also to put their side of it. So I don't know that we need to get involved in the nitty-gritty of that. What is it? For me, the only issue here is that there's only one issue.
What I'm asking for is that there be transparency in that process. We all know that in Barbados, justice does not always prevail, right? In depending on who
I would like to think.
And what, who is.
I don't know that there's any. Maybe you just hold on. I really don't see any reason at this stage for us to cast any doubt over the transparency of the process. Why are we introducing that? We expect. That in the same way that matters of this nature are dealt with every day in various organizations, that it will have the same level of transparency. And if it doesn't, one side or the other will be in a position to say, this is not acceptable. You don't need to make a public appeal for that. to suggest that we doubt that there's going to be transparency and fairness.
And are you opposed to me expressing an opinion on that, Mr. Ellis?
No, I'm opposed to you introducing this idea in such a way as to suggest that it is in doubt. I don't know that it's in doubt.
And you also do not know that it is not in doubt, Mr. Ellis.
I am going to operate from the premise that until I see anything to the contrary, I would give the authorities and those involved the benefit of any doubt in that regard. I'm not going to. How can I join you in trying to create an issue where one does not currently exist? That's how I see it. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hey, good afternoon, David. How are you doing?
I'm well. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. The last time we spoke, I had brought the issue of working from home and the need for the telecom providers to increase the bandwidth for the internet. And after that, unfortunately, every time I call VOB, my phone will not ring. It's a huge block. Both my cell phone and my house phone. So I don't know if your producer could check or could give him the information when numbers are there. But you remember this conversation, David, when we spoke about.
But you feel that you were victimized?
I don't know, David. I just stated.
But that's essentially what you're saying. That you feel that because you made the call, they victimized you? That's a stretch.
Mr. Ellis, listen. Every time I call, the phone would just cut out or click or would not ring or ring and just say the number is not available or something like that. And it's the same 434-1790 that I've been calling Brassat on for the last 10 years. I'm not stating that I was victimized, I'm stating the fact. And the facts are that I call the program. I
got you. So what you want the producer to do what?
Well, you can check my two numbers, the numbers that I call the program from, and find out if the blockage is from Starcom or from elsewhere.
From Starcom? But Starcom don't block numbers?
Well, I don't know. But maybe it was the provider, then I don't know.
I don't know, but one thing is sure. We are not in the business of blocking numbers at all. We don't use that kind of technology, and we have no reason. Well, you're not suggesting that we did it deliberately. Quite possibly you're suggesting that by accident it might have happened. I don't know that could happen through us.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not attributing blame to anyone.
Right. Okay, I got you.
Right. So I'm just asking you so that whenever I feel the quality program, I'm free to do so
You are free to do so as far as we are concerned. You're putting us to some work that really is unnecessary. We cannot. If you are having a problem with your phone, check with your provider. That's what you need to do.
Listen, four phones, David.
Check with the provider. It's not us.
Agree, but what I'm saying to you is that I can call anywhere in the world. I can call anybody in Barbados, but as long as they call Starcom, the phone does not work. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks for calling. Afternoon and welcome to the continuation of this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. This person wrote to say that they have a concern. Are we aware that in the very near future, in our southern Caribbean, Caracas will be another hotspot in the world as two Iranian oil tankers are on the way to the Caribbean en route to Caracas? Despite the opposition by the U.S., Iran has said they are continuing. There are fears that this could escalate considering the situation with Caracas and Washington. My concern is with this situation about to unfold in our neck of the woods, how are Caribbean governments dealing with the situation? Who do we have on the line next? Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Adams.
Yes.
How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, and you?
I'm good too. All right. I want to look at...
How can I help you today?
I want to look at what you have for Sander. But before I go there, now I hear that the churches complaining that the ram shops open up, not the churches. Well, my take on it is that the churches that save the souls, but the rapture that soothe the souls. So if the souls don't get soothed and they die, there won't be no souls to save.
My recollection of this matter was that people could buy liquor, but they had to take it away. They couldn't stay on the premises. Am I wrong?
They're taking it away to soothe the souls.
No, but the critical point is that they are not staying there. No.
Yes, no, we understand that, Miss Ellis.
But right, also, but also, if you go to church in the circumstances, what the concern has been about is physical distancing and that sort of thing. I don't know that the two are on all fours.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, Miss Ellis. They are not on all fours, and they serve two different purposes. Also, Miss Ellis, you saw the front page of today's paper.
Yes, I did. What about it?
Well, I show you some police on the beach seeking to enforce the regulations. You would say that they are social distancing?
They didn't look social distancing to me, but, you know, they may think, people may believe that because you have on a mask, you don't have to be far apart from each other, but they look too close to me.
Yeah, it didn't look right to me either. So if they want to enforce something, they should be able to display it too, you know, put it on display.
Mm-hmm.
The advertising would then got installed. But, Ms. Ellis, what you have for Brassbats on Sunday?
I have to check. I know we were discussing it earlier, but I have to check with the person who is producing Sunday's program. I can't tell you that off. I'll get it for you before the end of the program.
But, Ms. Ellis, you know that Sunday is the 24th?
And what about that?
It's the second anniversary.
And what about it?
I've been asking you from the first anniversary to bring in a high-level panel of economists, and let's look at the level of taxation before and after.
In all fairness, one would have to look at the performance of the government, both in terms of the economy and when you look at the social dimension to life and stuff. It's not just one aspect of it that would be up for review.
Well, I would be interested in the level of taxation before and after, and whether we get value for money.
You should also be interested in issues such as the fact that the government was able to bolster the country's foreign reserves before COVID, so that when COVID came, we were not in a position where we would have been scrambling, say that we would have been had it not been for the work that had been done by the administration. Isn't that part of what you should be looking at too?
No, I am looking at the level of taxation, Mr. Ellis.
We pick and choose what we want to look at. That is one. But, you know, however you look at this, you got to look at both sides of the picture. You can't just look at one and without the other.
Mr. Ellis.
Whatever you want, be fair.
You know, I just always pay attention to the mantras of the day. And the mantra was that you could not tax your way out of recession, you know, Mr. Ellis. That's the mantra you're looking at. Another mantra was that 17 ministers was too many, you know, that there should be 12. These are the things that they just look at. Now, Mr. Ellis, let's take a look at road tax. Paying one set of road tax, we would expect the road to get the necessary repairs. It would got potholes, it would got excavation for repairing the utilities, and you would get some discomfort. Paying twice the amount, you would expect that the potholes and the excavation will be repaired in proper time. Paying three times the amount, we would expect to drive on good, smooth roads. But we're paying four times the amount, so we should be driving on nylon roads, Mr. Ellis. So these are the things that I would like you to look at. The road tax that I'm paying is 4 times what I used to pay before. I would expect as much for nylon roads. Let's take a look at bus fare. When the bus fare was $2, we had to squeeze up in the vans, and there was rebelling bad for the $2. Now it's gone to $3.50. They're rebelling more. Is that the COVID that now come and knock out some of it? But they're reveling more. Are we just squeezing up even more, Mr. Ellis? They're then pulling in at the layabys. It was uncomfortable on the road. They're coming up in the outside lane, the turning lane, and taking off. It got worse, Mr. Ellis. So we pay more, and we got less for it. Don't talk about the water bill at all. Because we claim that the water rates ain't gone up, but the burden on the bill, the people could not meet it. And then you find that because that the first option of what you pay going towards the other things are not the main thing on the bill, which is the water. And you find that lots of people had the water off, and now the pandemic hit. They had to scramble and put it back on because people was paying part of the bill. Because most bills, people just pay a part and pay a part and pay a part. But because the part they were paying was going to something else, the water was turned off.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you something. The 2 years,
for the money?
You've identified all these negatives. Is there anything good that happened in the 2 years?
Anything good?
Yeah.
With the taxes?
With anything.
I don't even know if anything could happen with the taxes. I am speaking on taxes, the level of taxation.
So you got nothing out of the taxation that we've had. You have seen no improvement in anything, including the picking up of garbage in this country.
Mr.
You've seen nothing.
Mr. Ellis, you know that the water woes got worse in the past 2 years?
The water woes got worse.
Worse, yes.
For some people, it might have been worse, but it remained consistent. The fact of the matter is that in all of this, I don't think there's any reasonable person in this country who would look at it and say everything deteriorated, even though we had all of these taxes. I mean, there are things in this country that people were concerned about, and I remember very well, one of the most glaring of them all. The South Coast Sewage Project, which had to be fixed, has been done temporarily. The garbage situation, the extent to which the country was slipping towards a devaluation of its currency because it did not have enough foreign exchange, some foreign reserves. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that there are some things. The roads, there are a number of roads that have been improved in the last 2 years. I mean, you can identify them yourself. You want to be on, what you said you want to be what?
On
driving
nylon,
on what?
On nylon road. For
nylon?
4 times the road tax.
Well, you know, there is always another perspective to this. So those are the things that I see to counter your negatives. No perfection, but I have seen those as well. Okay?
Mr. Ellis, the taxes are a burden, Mr. Ellis.
But you have to stop and think about where the country was before. That burden, if you want to examine it, you have to do it within the context of what forced this upon us. Where was Barbados? When you used to call before the 24th of May 2018, and you were defending the then administration, you were defending it against the heavy criticism of a number of people who said that as far as they were concerned, things were not improving. You forget that?
Mr. Ellis, I defended it for being on the brink. And
on the brink of what?
It was able to go down 5 more notches and then went underground. You remember that, Mr. Ellis?
Brink of what?
That I defended on the brink with you. And then it went down 5 more notches. So every that was on the brink.
Five more notches.
On the brink, can't go down five more
notches. Wait, down five more notches. Who rated it? You?
The selective default put them down five, Mr. Ellis. You mean you don't know that?
But after that, what? There was also a significant upgrade based upon the rescheduling of the debt.
But it went down five more, Mr. Ellis.
Well, but if it went down five more, it had to be influenced by what? It largely was influenced by the things that didn't happen or did happen prior to 2018. You try to behave as though the world started in 2018. It cannot. You can't argue this that way. We were all here. We all lived it.
I am not here
to defend the indefensible. I am here to call it as it is. If you want to go down the road of just seeing the negatives, you can do that. But reasonable people would expect that you're going to weigh the negatives against the positives. So you can't tell me that it's all negative unless you are seeking to be just partisan.
Mr. Ellis, I am not saying that it's all negative. I am asking what value have you gotten for the money. You know, you could tell me.
All right, well, let me put it to you this way. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's wait for the discussion. Of course, you know, when we put together anything, what will happen is that you will get people who are for and people who are against it. And therefore, you will be able to have your day when we get to that. All right?
But that is what I was calling for since last year, Mr. Ellis.
We were premature, therefore. You know you were premature.
No, I was calling feet for the first year. Not calling feet for the second year. And
well, you do it every day that you call the program, so, you know, you get a little piece at a time. That's what you get. All right?
Fellas, you have
be gone.
To stay, but I can keep up my calls.
Be gone. All right. Hello? Down to brass that. This person says that they're really sick and tired of the political operatives. Vickers Tenantry, the Trinidadian lady, and they like talking everything every day about the ministers and the consultants. But listen, you got to live with this, you know. You got to live with this. When the previous administration was in office, people who used them to task every day. And, you know, with the passage of time, you will see that the current Barbados Labour Party administration certainly end up facing that same kind of situation. So it is par for the course. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Ellis?
Hi, how are you?
Yes, blessing of it. Thanks for another deal. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yes. I just called.
Hello? Good afternoon. I think we've lost that caller.
Yeah.